good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of a Pen and a Napkin podcast, the weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. Welcome back to our interview series, episode number 254. And from my wife's hometown or thereabouts is Samuel Schlottman, the head girls basketball coach at David City High School in David City, Nebraska. There's only one, right, Coach Schlottman? There's only one David City in the entire U.S. of A.
That is correct.
Yes, the big old sign. What's the intersection where it says I've driven past Presentation Parish a million times in my life?
Yeah, I think what it say from east to west.
Yeah,
there's only one David City, or David City's the best, something like that.
Something like that. So yeah, if you want to go check out that billboard, that's where you go find here. So really excited to have Coach Schlottman on here. Before we get to Coach, of course, we got to thank our founding sponsor, Cosac Chiropractic, located at 144th and Maple here in Omaha. Coaches, if you or any of your athletes are struggling with balanced neck or spinal issues, have them go see Cosac Chiropractic. Check out their practice at Cosac Chiro, KOSACCHIRO.com. Follow us on Twitter at a pen and a napkin. We try to put out daily coaching tidbits on the Twitter handle, so be sure to follow us there. If you're listening, or of course, if you hear this, you're listening. That's a stupid statement. iTunes, Spotify, whatever it may be, download, rate, review, subscribe, give us a 5-star review, do all of those things to help us move up in the podcasting ranks of how everything works there. And I'm not sure how it works. Just do it, please. That would be great. Questions, comments, suggestions, or ideas, email me apenandanapkin@gmail.com. Coach Schlottman, how are you doing this Sunday early afternoon, about 12:09 p.m., according to my computer?
Yep, doing great.
Awesome, awesome. How's the first week of practice been?
It's been good. We got a lot of things implemented. You know, we are in our second year now of having a jamboree right before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know that's super quick, about 6 or 7 practices, but I kind of like it to get some things accomplished early and then see where we're at right away before we get into the real games that matter on the record.
Yep. Yep. You know, those jamboree, we went a long time without having those. I grew up in Iowa and we always had a jamboree. You know, it's nice to have that jamboree in place to give you a little bit of wiggle room, to give you something against somebody else that kind of helps you evaluate where you're at, what you need to work on, where you might feel okay. And because we're paranoid and competitive, we never feel completely okay, right, Sam? You know, there's always something there, but at least you have that jamboree to fall back on a little bit.
Yeah. This year we're actually doing a triangular with Pender and Osceola, so that'll be kind of nice. Just to see two different teams, we'll play 2 quarters against each, and like you said, kind of see where we're at, see what other teams have that they can throw at us, and it'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, Coach, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about your basketball journey. How did you end up as a David City scout and heading up that program?
So I'm from Howells High School. I played there from 2007 to 2011, and then after Howells, graduated and played some basketball at Doan. After Doan, interviewed at a couple places, and David City was the first place that offered me a position, so I took it there. I was an assistant boys basketball coach for 5 years before stepping into the head girls role in 2020, and that this is year 5 as girls head coach.
Mm-hmm. Here is the and folks will understand this more because they will have heard Karen's podcast, but Sam, you are the first one that gets to answer this question here. It is the Karen Self, a pen and a napkin moment. When do you recall the first time that you started out scratching some stuff, pen to paper, pen to a napkin, whatever it may be? When did you first remember kind of doing the X's and O's things and writing it back, and when this coaching thing may have caught your bug? Or you may have caught the coaching bug, excuse me.
Yeah, I remember back in high school at Howells, just there'd be times, you know, during the season where we'd be in study hall or homeroom, whatever people call it, and the basketball season was always a fun time. I had a lot of success back in Howells, so I always enjoyed kind of jotting some things down. Coach Lamberty was my coach all 4 years, and he always had some good ideas, and it was just kind of fun to kind of see what I could come up with. And that's definitely where we had some great coaches at Howells, not just basketball, obviously. And so writing some things down was kind of interesting to see what they had to think about and what I kind of had a little bit different ideas of. And obviously, they were really good at listening to those ideas and kind of taking them and running with them.
Well, apparently, you weren't paying attention to Polacek in class or Lamberty in class if you were writing down those X's and O's. But we will forgive you for that, Coach Lottman. We will absolutely forgive you for that. So, tell us a little bit about those guys from Howells Dodge. Scott Polacek, he's been on the podcast a few times here. Let's start with Coach Polacek, and what kind of influence has he had on your coaching career?
Yeah, so I had two older sisters who both played for him. And I mean, I feel like it's been that way so however long he's been coaching, where he's competitive every single year. You have great coaches who, when they have great teams, they'll be successful. But I feel like he's one where maybe people are like, oh, this will finally be a down year for Howells. And then Scott Polacek ends up taking them. And what, last year they got third place at state. And I'm not sure how many, I mean, they played a brutal schedule, but I don't know how many people anticipated that they'd do that. So yeah, watching my sisters play for him in high school, I know they loved him as a coach. And then especially now, since I've become a head coach, I pick his brain quite a bit, send him lots of emails. Actually saw him yesterday at Walmart and talked about how the first week of the season had gone. And so, yeah, he's definitely a guy that I turn to now because I know he's got a lot of experience and he's got a lot of good answers for me.
Did he pick up the tab at Walmart?
He did not.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to send him a text and get on him about that. So, how about Scott Lamberty, your high school basketball coach? Again, what kind of influence did he have on you? Obviously, you saw him a little bit more on the day-to-day basis and in the lab, so to speak. So, what kind of influence did he have on you?
Yeah, I think a lot of what he did, I mean, I kind of think back now to my last 4 years, and this being my fifth year, and I kind of approached coaching the same way. He obviously had an idea of what he wanted to do, but he was so good at, okay, what do you guys think? Or I'm gonna tell you how to do this, but then I'm gonna watch you guys, I'm gonna kind of sit back and watch you guys take care of it just so we could take a little bit of control. So, I mean, I try to do that a little bit with my coaching as well. I have plenty of things, as many coaches do, of how they want to attack on offense, what they want to do on defense. So a lot of times what I try to do is give my girls an idea of what we're trying to accomplish, and then I kind of let them do their own thing, give them a lot of freedom because I know they're smart girls. I know they work hard, and it just kind of one of those things that Scott Lamberty did a great job of was, yes, telling us what his expectations are, but again, giving us some of that freedom to take care of it on our own.
Was that something that he told you guys that he was going to do, or was it just kind of organic and how it evolved?
Yeah, I think it was more just organic. I mean, I remember a practice, I don't know if it was Thanksgiving break or Christmas break, where things weren't going well. And I do recall him, he went up and sat about the top row of the bleachers and told us to figure it out. And so a lot of the time, I just think that he didn't expect us to know that. He just was like, all right, I know if I give them the chance to do it on their own, they're gonna find a way.
Another coach that you listed was a guy by the name of Jim Morrison. Tell us a little bit about Jim and his influence on you.
Yeah, so as I got going up through my elementary years, I mean, it was always Jim Morrison was always talked about, one of the greatest coaches in Nebraska. And I know my dad talked about how great of a guy he was and coach he was. And so I loved playing for Scott Lamberty. And sadly, my 8th grade year, when I was a basketball manager, that was ended up being Jim Morrison's last season as a coach, so I did miss playing for him, but tons of good stories, and again, just how great of a guy he was, and how well he treated his players, and how well he knew basketball.
You've one of the things that a lot of coaches are facing on the girl side of things, Sam, and you know, you're familiar with this just as much as anybody. But you know, the numbers game is getting more and more difficult, and there's a variety of reasons for it. You know, it could be, or it is, you know, club sports are kind of taking a bite out of things in the wintertime. Basketball's hard. You know, I firmly believe basketball, it's just really, really hard. And it's not for everybody. You know, there's other opportunities. There's other sports that are being offered for girls in the winter. But you're on the upswing a little bit. Your numbers are up there at David City. What do you feel like you've done to be able to grow those numbers and to increase your participation at a time where a lot of programs are struggling to field freshman teams or even a JV team at times?
Yeah, I give a lot of credit to my upperclassmen. I know they did a really good job between the fall sports season and now just telling girls, because like you said, basketball is a tough sport and there are lots of other opportunities. But I think a lot of my upperclassmen were like, hey, like maybe you're on the fence, but you should try it. It's fun. Like, we're a really close-knit group, all this stuff. And so I give them a lot of credit. Obviously, I try to do what I can to get out there and make them feel valued as well. I did a talk to the freshmen yesterday. We had morning practice, and afterwards I told them, I said, you guys know that there probably should be 3 to 4 more girls in your class because my freshman group is a group of 7, which is obviously pretty big. But I asked them if they knew there should be 3 or 4 more of them there, and they all shook their head yes. And I said, that may be the case, but I'm glad you guys are here. So, you know, it is a tough line because mm-hmm. There's those girls that you want out there on the court, but then you also just have to be thankful the ones that are there working hard every day and not take them for granted, even if there are some others that you would hope would be there.
Mm-hmm. How much have you been able to grow your numbers over the last few years, Scott?
So let's see. I want to say we were around 2 or 3 years ago. We were around that 17, 18 number. Mm-hmm. I think the lowest we were at 15 one year. And then, yeah, we're at 21 this season. So that's a great number. Mm-hmm. Cause you know, maybe one's gone every day. So right at 20 is solid. You can have 4 teams of 5. You can play side courts if you need to, lots of good stuff and drills. But yeah, growing those numbers, it comes down to kind of each class. This class is a big group of girls, this freshman group. And so some of them clearly went out and that helped others. Mm-hmm. My upperclassmen, again, gave them a lot of motivation of like, hey, like give it a try and then see what happens after that, just to see what they think. And so I know there's going to be years where maybe there aren't as many girls who are interested, or even obviously, there could be a class with a lot more boys, but
yeah,
this freshman group is a big group in terms of girls, and it's great to see a number like 7 out for that group.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing with like your youth kids to kind of help build that up as well?
So we changed how we do our youth camp. Our AD 2 years ago made a suggestion because kind of our youth camp, I'm not saying it was a bad format, it was just kind of a maybe different than what most schools do. So we kind of switched it up. We had a 2-day camp for 1st through 3rd and then a 2-day camp for 4th through 6th the week before our high school season started. And so every day after school for about an hour and a half, you're in the gym, high school girls were there because, you know, those youth girls love seeing them more than they like seeing me.
Sure.
Got a lot of good participation. Again, another page out of the Scott Palachuk handbook there. They had some custom basketballs they hand out at Howell's Dodge every year. And so I followed along with what he did. And so I feel like we got a few more girls who were interested because I saw that they could take home a Scout custom basketball once mm-hmm. they were done with camp. And then right after camp was done, they kind of went right into signing up for their youth season, which I think has been a benefit these past 2 years. Because then instead of, we used to do it in May, and then kind of by the time sign-up came, some of them might have lost interest. But
sure.
I feel like it really helped now that, oh, we just got done with basketball. Yeah, I want to keep doing this. And so that's really helped participation. I did get an email a couple days ago about the number of parents who are looking to be involved this year, which is great because that's always an issue. And so I think the youth numbers, especially at the second, third, and fourth grade level, and second through fifth, I should say, those numbers at camp looked really, really good.
Mm-hmm. As we enter into this holiday season, coaches, you know what would make a great gift for you this year? It would be a copy of Kings of Their Court, the story of the 2020-2021 season here in Omaha, three ranked teams in the top 25 in the country. And you're going to hear the personal and professional stories of players like Hunter Salas and Chucky Hepburn, Frankie Fiddler, William Kyle, coaches like Tim Cannon, Josh Ludke, and Doug Woodard. Yeah, just a terrific, terrific story, a crazy time period in our country with quarantine, politics, George Floyd, and everything in between. Yours for only $19.99. Go to Amazon, go to books, look up Kings of Their Court, and order a copy of that today. It's going to be a great stocking stuffer for you, for somebody that you love. Tell your wife, tell your spouse, tell your kids, hey, I would love to have a copy of this book and have something to read here and to just read about a great basketball story. Kings of Their Court, available on Amazon.com today. Let's talk about your current group, your current situation here. You've kind of had the slow and steady climb here, and you know your program. You've kind of taken a program that was down a bit, and have moved it into a place where they're really ready to compete at a high level. Was there a point? Was there a game? Was there a practice? Was there an interaction? I don't know what it might have been, Sam, where you really felt like, okay, we're getting to that point where we are kind of we can at least be in the fight with the Hastings St. Cecilia's or the, you know, some of the upper echelon programs, the Penders, you know, whatever it may be, you know, where you feel like, okay, we may not beat them, but they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to fight with us in order to beat us here tonight or whatever that situation may be.
Yeah, I look back probably the first time was probably my second year as a head coach where we had a group that knew their role and they did their role every single night. And I think we beat a really good Clarkson Lee team and a great Milford team, two wins that people probably didn't expect. Looking at this group specifically, it didn't turn out to be a win. Mm-hmm. But last season, there was probably I'd say 3 to 4 games where teams that ended up making sub-state or state, so it was Clarkson Lee again. Elmwood Murdoch was one of them. SCOTUS and sub-districts where at halftime, we either had 4 or 5 point lead, maybe it was tied, maybe we were down by 2. And so there was just a handful of games last year where we did exactly what we needed to do, especially in the first half, maybe ran out of gas a little bit in the second half or just didn't put the ball in the hole enough times. But there was a lot of games against some quality teams last year where we definitely showed that we belonged. We just got to get a little bit more over that hump and get the job done at the end.
Mm-hmm. So you're doing a good job of just leading right into the next question. Maybe you should be hosting, coach. As you evaluate your team, what are those things that you need to do to get over the hump against, let's say, a SCOTUS or a couple of the other teams that you listed there where we kind of ran out of gas or we just kind of didn't put the ball in the basket quite enough? You know, whatever the situation may have been in that situation, how do you go from that hardest leap is going from 14, 15 wins to 18 wins? You know, just that 3-win leap, that's the hardest leap to take. So what are you and your staff, what have you done this off season, this improvement season, to try and put you in that situation where you are ready to take that leap?
We've really emphasized offense, and so obviously the old saying, defense wins championships. Clearly we're not discarding defense, but our defense in the past 2 years has done an outstanding job, even against those really high scoring teams. With the shot clock this year, teams talk about, okay, what's it going to do to the game, or how is it going to benefit us or hurt us? I think it only helps our defense because, you know, you got some really smart coaches who are like, all right, this team plays good defense. We're just going to take our time on offense. We're going to wait till their defense breaks down, and then we're going to attack them when they're get out of sort or don't communicate. But now with that shot clock, I think that helps us because, all right, we got to play defense for about 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we come down with defensive rebounds, then they can't waste time off the clock and wait for us to get tired or make a mistake because we're going to play solid defense for those 30 seconds. On the offensive end, we have talked about running a few more sets. Again, that's kind of going back to the Scott Lamberty of giving them a little bit of freedom. And so there might have been times over the last few years where maybe on offense, obviously I still trust my girls, but maybe there's some times where, okay, we've gone three possessions without a bucket instead of just letting them run four out, one in, or five out and getting a good shot. We need to run a set and get a great shot.
Mm-hmm.
And so transition is a big thing that we're going to keep emphasizing because this summer we got a lot of girls that have speed and we have a lot of girls that understand getting that ball kicked ahead early and often is going to be beneficial. So transition along with maybe running a few more sets are things that I think will help our offense. And then one other thing is just making sure that we're getting the girls who do shoot the best or who we want on the offensive end, who are a bigger threat, just getting them more shot opportunities as the game goes on. There hasn't really been a game in the past where we get to the end of it and we're like, okay, we took 20 bad shots,
mm-hmm.
but we just need to get to a point where we take great shots. And so, you know, Coach Weeks, I played under him at Doan, and he's one who clearly has had plenty of success in
mm-hmm.
his coaching career. That's one comment that I remember from him is there's a difference between good shots and great shots, and we just got to end more possessions with shots that we feel are great shots if they go in or not.
And some of that, Sam, is, you know, you want to play a democratic style of basketball, but every once in a while it needs to be a dictatorship, and Mary needs to get this shot in this spot because we feel like it's the best thing for us right now. Is that kind of also a little bit a part of your evolution as a coach?
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, I mean, again, that's something that I'm not saying 5 years, this being my fifth year, isn't a long time. I've learned a lot, thankfully, but yeah, there are times where I definitely look back and I'm like, holy cow, why didn't I call a timeout there so we could talk about stuff and run a great set or do something different on offense? Or we did what we needed to do, but we just didn't make the pass or didn't reverse it when we should have. So those are things that not only do we need to make sure we talk about more, but I need to do a better job of kind of breaking that down on film just so we can see it, because you know as well as I do that seeing it on film and talking about it are two very different things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, like you said, yeah, I need to do a better job at times of showing them exactly what we want to do so they know, like, okay, I 100% know the expectation of what he's asking me.
Mm-hmm. Did you do more this summer also with, like, your skill development and just getting more shots up? Is that something that you put a focus on as well?
Yeah, so we're lucky enough that, I think it was 3, maybe 4 years ago now, we got a shooting gun. And so that's definitely whenever we had a chance to be in the high school, that thing was out and we were using it as much as we could. Ever since I took over as coach, we've always tracked free throws and we put those percentages up in the locker room just to see where girls are at, because, you know, free throws are huge parts of the end of games. And so, again, one thing we did with shooting this first week of practice, we had a couple drills that we do that I also kept track of and we'll post those in the locker room as well, just to see. One of the drills is just strictly competitive, like, okay, this number I got 20, that's the number I gotta beat. And then the other one was more of a percentage, all right, this is the percentage I shot, let's see if I can either stay consistent with that or bump it up, because, you know, every once in a while I might go down, but that consistency is another word we use a lot on our offense.
Mm-hmm. You are also, you know, kind of tying this all together with a bow. you know, you've got pretty much every, you got everybody back this year, don't you, Coach?
Everybody, yep.
Yeah, everybody. So how might that add into things with that expectation, you know, taking that next step, so forth and so on? You know, how is that tied into it? Do you feel a little bit extra pressure, so to speak? Like, okay, here's our real, you know, here's a big chance for us. It's not the end all be all. Hopefully you create other chances for yourself. But, you know, how much has that played into, okay, we've got a good baseline in. Now we can really, really start tweaking what we're doing and how we're doing things. And really, we're able to take that next step schematically because everybody should be really, really familiar with what we're doing with the X's and O's.
Yeah, I think it is something where we feel like this should be a big year, could be a big year. And I wouldn't say so much as pressure, but I feel like just the expectations of, all right, we had 8 losses last year, and clearly teams change. They get newcomers that come in that are very talented. They have girls that grow, just like we have girls that are going to grow into new roles or be better at their role. And so just looking at some of those teams, again, it's like, okay, we might have played them last year knowing that we maybe didn't have as much experience, or they had some seniors who are really good players. Well, now those seniors are gone, and now we're the team that should be very experienced. And so that should give us a little bit more confidence, hopefully, going into some of those games in terms of, yeah, we feel like last year they might have got the better of us, but we feel like we can kind of flip that script this year.
Mm-hmm. Spent a little time watching those games this summer?
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I never did that at all. Never, ever, ever, you know, so... Coach, let's transition here. Let's jump into our John Wooden quote of the day. Coach Schlottman, are you ready for the John Wooden quote of the day?
Yes, I am.
All right. From Wooden, A Lifetime of Observations, page 104 this week is the Wooden quote of the day. As you know, Sam, I'll rattle this off and give you a chance to ponder and let me know what you think. All right. So, the John Wooden quote of the day is, basketball is just a game, but if I was doing my job as a coach, that game of basketball would help our players by preparing them to do well in life, to reach their full potential as individuals. When they did that, I felt very proud as a coach. That's more rewarding to me than all the championships and titles and awards. Coaches, by now you have seen the newest thing coming out of a pen and a napkin, the opening tip, Substack newsletter. I put an edition out there for free, and hopefully you see what a great investment this is going to be for you as a coach. I'm guessing it probably is, if you watch everything and listen to everything, it's going to take you almost 3 hours to get through everything on the opening tip newsletter here. What do we have in there? You've got an original article by myself here. Just thoughts, ideas on different coaching topics. Into the Lab. That's probably my favorite thing is the Into the Lab. It's me, another coach, and a whiteboard. And we're just drawing stuff up here. Stuff to help you out, to help you become better, and to help your team become better this coming season and beyond. Got another exclusive podcast. You heard the first one, Industriousness from the Wooden Pyramid of Success. And it's me and it's two semi-retired former girls basketball coaches, Matt Kern of York, Nebraska, Nate Wall of David City Aquinas here in Nebraska. And every newsletter, we're going to break down an aspect of Wooden's Pyramid of Success. Bookshelf recommendations from off the bookshelf, X's and O's stuff. I'm dropping in a university video. It's just going to be given to you there. You know, and I really believe in the products that I've put together. It's practical stuff that's going to help make you a better coach. And then we've got the Coach's Corner with links to clips and articles. As you saw, we had our two Olympic coaches, Steve Kerr and Cheryl Reeve. Just really, really good stuff here. And I know it's subscription-based, but goodness gracious sakes alive, as Coach Wooden would say, it is so affordable. $8 a month for two newsletters. That's $4 every newsletter. That's $2 every single week. Or you can get a year-long subscription, $75. That's 24 editions of the newsletter. That's basically $3 a newsletter. That's basically a dollar an hour if it takes you about 3 hours to get through everything that you're getting here. It could not be more affordable. It could not be more positive for you. It's going to help make you a better coach. So subscribe to the Opening Tip newsletter. Folks, you're not going to regret it. What do you think, Coach?
Yeah, just thinking about that. One thing that I feel like is an awesome part of coaching is talking to former players, seeing former players. And so, yeah, sadly, every once in a while, there's going to be girls that maybe didn't enjoy their experience because they feel like they didn't get enough court time or because they felt like they didn't get enough maybe one-on-one time with me. But I try to reach out to past players on occasion, talk mm-hmm. to them, see how they're doing. I try to let these girls know that I have right now, they're in high school, that once their time is done, like, that doesn't mean that I'm like, all right, you're moved on. I don't care about you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like that, one of the parts of that quote about how clearly basketball is part of life. And it's not everything. And so when we do have losses or when we do have bad days, there's lots of other things we got to be thankful for. There's lots of other things that we can still talk about, be happy about, etc. And so very good quote, and one that I hope that some of these girls are getting more out of my coaching than just X's and O's, and do feel like as individuals they are cared about and taken care of.
Yeah, I always used to tell my players, it's not a 4-year relationship. I want to have a 40-year relationship with you, and you know, like you said, it's unfortunate at times where you feel like you have to make decisions that are best for the team, but it's very rarely anything personal. You know, there's times where unfortunately I've had to sit kids that I really, really adored and I would want my daughter to be exactly like. And sometimes you have to play kids that, you know, maybe you don't have that same relationship with. And, you know, that you have to make, as long as somebody is a good enough teammate, nobody's really ever going to be a perfect teammate, especially, you know, unless it's like a Tim Duncan or a Steve Nash or somebody like that. But, that's kind of the hardest part at times is, listen, it's nothing against you, your minutes in the game and how I feel about you personally. It's just, these are the decisions I have to make for the good of the team, but I still want to have that relationship with you. And you hope that the kids see that.
Right.
Coach, let's jump into your philosophy here a little bit. You got some good things that you want to talk about here today, and I'm excited to hear about your philosophy here. So I'm going to kind of turn it over to you when I interrupt, and I probably will at some point, Coach. It'll be, as politely as I possibly can. So let's talk a little bit about your baseline out of bounds philosophy. What do you do with your baseline out of bounds? And maybe let's talk a little bit both sides of the ball here, Coach, both offensively and defensively. Let's start with offense. What do you do on offense? How do you like to do things? How do you rep it? How do you work it into your practice plans? What are you looking to do with your baseline out of bounds plays? And then we'll go. We'll talk about the defensive side of things.
Yeah, on the offensive side, about 2 years ago, I decided to just do baseline out-of-bounds plays kind of out of the same look. And so, again, when I first started, I'd have about 3 or 4 of them. But, you know, with huddle assist now and with coaches who do spend lots of time watching film, if you have one baseline out-of-bounds play that's in a box set, then when you run that set, they probably know it's coming. If you run one out of a triangle set and so on and so forth. And so now, again, this is in my second year of where we have 4 to 6 looks, but they're all in the same set. And so I've really emphasized, you know, one thing I love seeing at the college level is when point guards get their team huddled at dead balls or free throws or things like that. And so that's one thing I've tried to kind of incorporate is I kind of got two-ish point guards, but what I try to tell one of them is, all right, as soon as we know we're taking that ball out of bounds on the baseline, get everyone together, call it, and get it set up. On the terms of what I'm trying to accomplish out of them, I mean, there's six total that we try to get through throughout the whole year, and clearly those things can change depending on on what we're seeing. But two to three of them are either right to the hoop or maybe slips on the backside to the hoop. And then the other one or two are trying to get open looks out on the perimeter for our shooters.
Mm-hmm. And everything's out of a box, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where did you kind of pick up on a lot of that stuff? Is it something from like you said, like Coach Lamberty or somebody like that, or was it some other things that you just picked up along the way?
I think it's just a lot from watching film. So, like I said, I know Huddle Assist is great. It's been super beneficial. It does so many good things, but there are lots of times where, I'm not saying I don't trust it, but I just like to see it with my own eyes. And so from looking at different teams in the past couple of years, when I really dive into some scouting, it makes it 10 times harder. Because once again, if I'm playing a team tomorrow and I'm like, sweet, I know they're three out of bounds plays based on how they set up, and I feel like we're really confident on how we want to guard it. But on the flip side, if they have three plays out of a box set, then I'm like, all right, maybe we can tell by where the girl is at what it is, but it's a lot more of a guessing game rather than a knowing what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. How do you incorporate working on these in practice? What are you doing in that regard? When do you work on them? How often do you work on them, et cetera?
I would say about once or twice a week. I mean, this week, obviously, we talked about a couple of them just so we got a couple to run for Jamboree Tuesday. Usually when I do them later in the season, most of the time when I throw them in will be like, okay, we're doing a 4-minute quarter, ball goes out on the baseline, then boom, we're running one of our out of bounds plays, you call it, and we run it. And so there's every once in a while, if I see something like, okay, we ran this box set, but we didn't set the screen where we wanted to, or we had an open girl, we missed it, then we might talk about it specifically in practice. But otherwise, I feel like a lot of where I will run based on out of bounds plays as the season goes is more when we're doing 5-on-5 and the ball just goes out of bounds on the baseline, then right on the spot, we run one.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So how many do you want to have in before your first one here?
Probably 3 to 4, because again, with everybody coming back, there are some tweaks and changes we'll make, but I got a really smart group of girls. And so just the fact of I could, on day one, I probably could have threw 5 or 6 things at them from last year, and 75% of them would have remembered exactly what's going on. So that's made it a little bit easier. And so I'd say three that we're confident in for Tuesday.
Yep. And then what are you doing defensively when it comes to baseline out of bounds plays? How are you teaching your kids to defend it and to take away the easy baskets?
Yeah, well, I mean, kind of with baseline out of bounds and just team defense as well, one obvious thing is we always got to protect the hoop. So whoever's guarding the ball is usually shaded towards the paint. So on the flip side, where we're trying to look for easy buckets right underneath the hoop, that person who's guarding the ball is trying to take that away, number one. With our posts, we talk about clearly communication. And if, again, kind of where I give them a little bit of freedom is if they set a cross screen with the post or an up screen, whatever the case may be, I'm like, you can switch it, but you better make sure that it's communicated. Mm-hmm. And obviously, they usually do a really great job. Sometimes, just like in our regular defense, we might get beat on the perimeter, but we'll give a wide open three than a wide open layup any day of the week.
Yeah. You're defending that inside out?
Right.
Yep. Yeah, that's, I was always, you know, no layups, everything inside out, everything. If we challenge a jump shot and you're not thrilled with a wide open jump shot, but that's better than a layup. You know, yeah. So let's play everything inside out. And that's what we really emphasize with our kids as well. So are you manning that up, or are you zoning that up a lot of times, or is it kind of scout dependent?
Yeah, I'd say it's scout dependent. We're not one of those teams that on a baseline out of bounds, we go a specific defense. It depends who we're playing. Personally, a lot of times, if I had to choose, I like us going man anyway. But yeah, it really just depends on who we're facing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your transition offense philosophy, Coach Schlottman. What are you doing with that here? How are you getting the ball out, going and running and wanting to attack it again? Try to help out. If you can pick up two or three easy extra baskets a game, boy, that helps with that wins and losses as well. You know, so what are you doing with your transition offensive philosophy, Coach?
So when these girls that I have now were freshmen, sophomores, I basically had one point guard, and she always got the outlet, and we were running in spots, obviously, like a lot of teams do. But one thing that we've kind of involved with here is two of my starters from last year, both very good ball handlers. We kind of have one that we want to bring the ball up, but that's not the way it's going to be. So instead of always waiting for the one point guard to get the outlet and get going, now we have more of an idea of, okay, like I have three girls that I'm comfortable bringing the ball up. So if you are technically the one in this lineup, but you see the other point guard get the rebound, then you should be flying. Mm-hmm. Our center right now is really good at when she doesn't get a rebound, and she gets a lot of them, but when she doesn't, she's almost always one of the first people down the floor because she gets from 0 to 100 real quick. And so we still need to do a better job of making sure when we get that initial rebound that we're looking up right away. But I thought this summer, I mean, I had a couple of coaches compliment the girls, and it's more them than me because they're the ones running up and down the floor and I'm not. But just how well we get the ball kicked up and get those easy opportunities, which, like you said, can play a huge factor when we get to some of those tougher games or even games as we're getting to crunch time.
Uh-huh. How about what are some ways that you're drilling that in practice? How are you emphasizing that? Do you have some breakdown drills that you'd be willing to share, Sam? You know, what do you got for us there?
Yeah. So kind of there's a few that we do that focus on offense and defense, which again, I'm sure that's a lot of coaches have them that they emphasize both. And so, I mean, the classic one where you got set up at like one girl shooting a free throw and then you got two defenders in the paint. She shoots it and then it's 2-on-1 and then you just add two girls each time. Mm-hmm. So it goes from 2-on-1 to 3-on-2 and so on and so forth. And so just a matter of, okay, like the defense has one less girl. Usually we talk about three or less passes. Like we got to be scoring quick because, again, things that a lot of coaches know, the longer you wait, then that extra defender is coming, or you make those passes too late, then that's somebody who's sprinting back on defense, going to intercept them, deflect them, whatever the case may be. So one of those, yeah, is that 2-on-1 moving to 3-on-2, so forth. And then another one is just we'll play in the half court and we'll just say like, okay, on a defensive rebound, or even if the ball goes in the hoop, no matter what, we're not taking it out and we're just going the other direction for one possession. Mm-hmm. And so they'll know obviously that they play their defense on the half court and boom, we're going, we'll end on the opposite end no matter what. And clearly at this level, I'm not concerned about the part of, okay, they made the shot.
Yeah.
We just take the ball and go because we're not going to do that in a game. But I just think they're really puts the emphasis on we need to go, go, go.
Yeah.
And so we're not going to spend 32 minutes in a track meet. But we need to take advantage of those opportunities when we do get a long rebound and we do have girls up ahead that we can get those easy buckets.
Yeah. Get those eyes up and get it out and get it going. Want to know more about A Pen and a Napkin and all the resources it offers? Go to apenandanapkin.com, a great resource for any coach at any level. In addition to our A Pen and a Napkin University video library options that are available to order, we have hundreds of pages of notes, from one-page handouts to book breakdowns to original coaching notes. We also have coaching links, a full catalog of every A Pen and a Napkin podcast, and ways to contribute to the growth of A Pen and a Napkin. apenandanapkin.com is a coaching resource that will help you become a better coach. Let's talk about your culture there, Coach. And like you said, you've had some great influences with Polacek and Jim Weeks and guys that know how to build a culture. What are some of the things that you've tried to do there at David City to build a really, really strong internal culture within your program?
I mean, I think we just try to involve the girls as much as we can, because again, I'm not saying the girls are out because of me, and I'm not saying the girls that aren't out aren't doing basketball because of me. I think it's more the girls on the team. Like, this is, ever since I've got here, the groups that I have been so close-knit, always doing things together, always great teammates to each other. And then obviously we try to add some fun in that as well. We always try to hit a Husker women's basketball game, which has been super exciting because they've been fun to watch the last few years. 2 years ago, we went to an escape room together. Last year, we got the fortunate opportunity to do some top golfing, which a lot of the girls have never got to do that before.
Oh, okay.
Fairly every single team, you know, you got those long bus trips where you're stuck on there with those girls. And so summer is a great opportunity to just have some fun and be together. And so the culture I think that we try to build is that we are going to be a unit, a family, whatever you want to call it. And then on top of that is this culture is going to be that we are going to work hard. We're going to show up early. We're going to do those little things correctly, game in and game out.
Mm-hmm. Taking care of the details. Yeah, you know, vitally important. What are some things that you've, because, you know, David City is not a big town. It's only about 2,500 people. You got a lot of little rural smalling villages around you and everything. But, you know, what are some ways, like, for coaches that are located in rural areas? You know, you're talking about going to an escape room. You're talking about going to Topgolf, which I'm guessing you came to Omaha to do. So what were the logistics of that? How did you put that all together? How did you work with your parents, with other sports in making that happen?
Yeah. So, I mean, kind of how our schedule works out, there happens to be this Saturday in January where we're never going to have a game, the wrestling tournament on Friday for the high school boys, and then a youth tournament on Saturday. And so we always know we're going to have that weekend free. And so we always try to like lock down that Saturday and give girls a super heads up notice, because clearly we want as many to be there as can.
Yeah.
To do something fun. And so again, just in the summer, we try to do a little bit of fundraising. A youth camp helps. We do some concession stands every once in a while with some of our gear. We get a little bit of money back, but the Topgolf, I try to do like a poll of like, okay, yeah, we did an escape room, but let's try to do something different at least for 1 year in between. And so Topgolf got a lot of girls excited. Again, a lot of, I would say probably a little over 50% of them had never had the opportunity to do it, which is another fun thing for them to experience. And so parents are always super supportive. A lot of that expense did come out of the basketball account, because again, a lot of that money should go back towards them because they're the ones working to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we usually try to do with that is we try to take care of a lot of the expense, and then they might just have to get their food.
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly the last thing we want is, oh, this girl can't come because she doesn't have $50 that she can use to spend at Topgolf. And clearly we try to eliminate that.
Yep.
And so, like I said, just being able to use the account because they have worked hard to earn that money is a great, great thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's, those are the great memories that you have. Those are the things that you really remember. I mean, yeah, you're going to remember wins, and you know, for us as coaches, sometimes we remember the losses a lot more than we remember the wins. But the players really remember the bus rides, the top golfs, the escape rooms, those cultural things in it. And it helps bring everybody together in such a positive way, don't you think, Coach?
Right. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And like you said, yeah, some of those losses are haunting, but those suburban trips times at Topgolf, like you said, all those fun things. I know the girls love it, and I like seeing them get some enjoyment when it is a long season. It can be physically grinding, obviously.
Yeah, not that we remember any of those losses, but I was talking to my personal mentor, and we were talking about a game that, I'm not kidding you, we had 30 years ago. We lost at the national tournament, and I've still never watched it to this day. Never watched the game, and just too painful. But maybe I've just got problems, Sam. I don't know. you know. So let's wrap up on this, Coach Schlottman. Let's talk about statistical analysis. What do you look for in the stat sheet at the conclusion of a game? What do you like to check out? What are your emphases with your team, with your coaching staff that you really deem are the keys to success for the David City Scouts?
Yeah, so I'm a math guy, teach high school math, and so when I'm looking at those numbers, kind of like we talked about with baseline out of bounds, focusing on inside out, I mean, that's a huge part of what I'm looking at is, okay, how many, this girl we knew at the beginning of the game was a shooter, how many shot attempts did she get from the three-point line, how many did she make? We said we were going to play a step off this girl because we didn't want her to drive. Did we do our job? And she shot 1 for 5 from the three-point line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always diving into a lot of shooting statistics on opposing teams because, again, that's, I feel like, where we try to get an advantage is obviously on the offensive end where we're trying to take a step up is getting girls in the positions we want them to score. And so if thinking about it on the opposite end, obviously coaches want to do the same. If this girl's an outstanding three-point shooter, they're going to want her to get 5 to 8 threes off a game. And so we're trying to limit that, making sure that, all right, every time she touches it, we got 1 to 2 hands right up in her face and we're making her put that ball on the floor and see what else she can do. And so looking at, again, huddle assist has been a huge help, but just breaking down those films, usually I send it to huddle assist and then I'll look at it myself as well. And so just kind of getting a double take on it and seeing, all right, this is what I think we need to force the other team to do to be successful. And then on our end too, maybe we got to the end of the game and we shot 15% from the three-point line. Was that because we took bad shots? Was that because we weren't in rhythm? Or is that just plain out the ball didn't go in the hole that night? And looking at those statistical analysis, just, again, big number guy know that kind of with what we discussed with the baseline out of bounds, mm-hmm. you give them 10 to 15 shots in the paint, that number percentage is going to be higher than at the 3-point line. And so we can't allow them to beat us in the paint or at the free throw line because they're going to shoot at a higher clip there than they are from the outside.
Mm-hmm. How do you present that to your kids? Do you have like a form or a chart that you use or anything of those, anything like that? Do you have a, you know, how do you discuss that, you know, in a formal way?
So usually at our, either the day before practice, you know, on Saturdays when we have a walkthrough, we'll talk about it specifically. But other than that, when I give them the scouting report or when I'm writing stuff up on the board before games, I almost always try to include those numbers just so they can see, like, if I tell a girl that the person she's guarding shoots 30%, that could be, okay, she made 3 out of 10 in 14 games. That's not a very high number. And so I try to give them like, all right, yeah, she shot 30%, but she shot 100 threes this year already. So that's a pretty impressive 30% when she's mm-hmm. putting up that volume of threes. And so I always try to present them the numbers, like I said, on a scouting report or on the board, just so they can see like, okay, that is an impressive number because those shot attempts are a lot mm-hmm. Compared to, you know, again, clearly a girl who only shoots 10 times, she still could be a really good shooter. But the fact that she's only taken 10 threes on the year means that maybe we don't have to be as concerned as someone who's shot 100 clearly.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it's just playing those percentages and yeah, those high volume 3-point shooters, you know, 3-pointers and taking charges in girls basketball. I always said those are like dunks in boys basketball or men's basketball. You know, those are such big momentum shifters, and you got to move those shooters off the line and not let them get those clean looks. And so we are right in line there, my friend. Coach Schlottman, if folks want to know more about your program, more about you, anything like that, how would they find out about it?
I have a coaching Twitter account, X account, I guess now. I post stuff every once in a while. Otherwise, on the Davis City Facebook page, they always do a great job of reposting stuff from youth camp, from our girls' season, scores, highlights, things like that. Otherwise, if anybody else really, really has any more questions or things they want to know, they could always shoot me an email. They can find it on the Davis City staff page.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I've learned a lot from a lot of coaches around my area and the conference from back when I was at Howells. And so I appreciate a lot of coaches who have shared things with me, as I am still pretty early in my head coaching career.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're doing a heck of a job. You got things going in the right direction, Coach. And I think you guys are really keyed to have a really, really good season this year. So I wish you nothing but the best, man.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. How was the debut on a pen and a napkin? How did you enjoy it, Coach?
It was fun. It was good. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah. Well, good. You did a great job. I want to thank you for coming along. If you want to hold the line here, we just got to wrap up a couple of things. Again, Sam Schlottman, head girls basketball coach at David City Public High School there in David City, Nebraska. If you ever get a chance, if you're in the David City area, go to, is it Roper's? Is that the name of the place downtown?
Yes, very, very good bar and grill.
Yes, that is. They got some great burgers there. So there's a little free publicity for downtown David City, the public square. My mother-in-law is still working at David City Discount Pharmacy just across the square as well. So, but we want to thank Coach Schlottman for coming on. We, of course, want to thank our founding sponsor, Cosac Chiropractic. We want, follow us on Twitter or X or whatever you'd like to call it. Download, rate, review this one. Give us 5 stars. Like I said, subscribe. That would be awesome. Email me at penandanapkin@gmail.com if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, or ideas. Again, Sam Schlottman, head girls basketball coach at David City Public. Want to thank him for his time. Want to thank everybody for their support. Coaches, as always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day at a time.